Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Somebody say, oops. You know, I oopsed last week. I told you last week we were finishing chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. I don't know what I was thinking. It's not true. In fact, we got 2 more weeks in chapter 6 on the Gospel of John. And so, because I made that mistake, let's get to it quickly so that we can get through chapter 6, because you know it comes after chapter 6, don't you? Yeah, I can't wait for that. John chapter 6, verse 60. The disciples had just heard Jesus after having fed 5,000. These people ate this bread. They were hungry again the next day. And Jesus said, now, here's the deal. I'm the bread of life. If you partake of this bread, you'll never go hungry again. And of course, he was talking in a larger emotional, spiritual sense that if you partake of Jesus, if you eat the bread of life, which is Jesus, you know, you're going to have life and life to the full. Now, these people were just confused. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. Now, let me just be clear. If you think Jesus is about cannibalism, that's not what he's talking about. So these people, they said, on hearing this, John chapter 6, verse 60, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And you know what? They're right. The concept of taking Jesus in where he is all pervasive is a difficult thing. You see, it would have been much easier if Jesus said, hey, make me a part of your life. Make me a part of maybe your Sunday morning, and that's good enough. That would have been much easier. If Jesus said, you know what, I don't want to just come inside of you and own everything. I don't want to rule the roost. I just want to be a part. Put me amongst all the other good things in your life, and I'm good. This is not what Jesus is giving us by way of imagery. Jesus is saying, I want to come into your life, and I want to own the life, and I want to bring you joy that can only come if you surrender all. Somebody say all. It would have been so much easier if you'd have said, surrender some. And it would have even been easier if you'd have said, surrender most. This is a difficult teaching. I'm wondering if any of you have ever done anything difficult. Has anybody ever done anything difficult? And if you, in the midst of doing that thing difficult, said, man, this is difficult. But at the end of it, you said, oh, this is good. I mean, think about that. In fact, think about that. In about a minute, I'm going to tell you to turn to your neighbor and tell them that thing that you've done difficult, okay? I'm wondering if any of you have ever run a long race and felt, man, this is awful. But at the end of the race, you feel good. I remember the second marathon I ran at mile 11, I tore my right calf muscle. And so I started limping. And at mile 12, guess what I did? I tore the other calf muscle. And it took me 7 hours, but I finished that sucker. And when I crossed that line, even though I could barely stand up, I was standing up straight, if you know what I mean. There's something about the difficult task that brings joy to the soul. I wonder if you've ever run a race. I wonder if you've ever, you know, committed to a workout routine or lost a bunch of weight and said, man, I really like donuts. I wonder if you've ever gone through some therapy and dealt with some really heavy things in your life. I wonder if you've worked hard to remove the bitterness and replace it with forgiveness. I'm wondering if you've overcome your addiction. I'm wondering if you've ever worked difficult things through so that you could be reconciled. You see, it is hard to give Jesus everything, but there's a concept that I think we kind of know that if we commit to the hard thing, something good will happen. Now, here's your chance. Turn to your neighbor. I'm going to give you about 38 seconds. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that difficult thing that you did. Go ahead and tell them. Everybody, go, go. All right, last night Christy and I went and saw a movie, had a little date night with the old wifey, not old wifey, the O-L-E, that's a term of endearment. Sorry, Christy. O-L-E, right? I went on a date with Christy. And we saw, quite frankly, it was a movie that was a little too smart for me. It was a movie, First Man, it was about the trip to the moon, you know, Neil Armstrong. There was a lot of math in it. and they filmed it a little, kind of like the Blair Witch thing, and there was a little confusion. And there's a few times Christian like, do you want to go? I'm like, no, we were in it. We might as well figure out, because we didn't know what happened, right? I mean, did he make it to the moon? But in the movie, there was something that they quoted John F. Kennedy in saying that's apropos that I wish these disciples would have heard. See, they were complaining because the thought of taking Jesus all in, it's a hard thing. So when John F. Kennedy and his administration was getting ripped on for spending all the money that they were spending to send a man to the moon, he said this. Why? Some say, why the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? Small school playing big school. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they're easy, JFK said. We choose to do these things not because they're easy, but because they are hard. And because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, and because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we're unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, we will be better for it. This is a hard teaching. But you'll be better for it. I'm telling you, if you embrace the difficult task of making Jesus all pervasive, not just Sunday morning pervasive, but all pervasive, surrender all to the one who loves you more than you can even imagine, life will be better. But the disciples pulled out a good old trick. Well, who can accept this? See, and what they're doing is what we like to do. They deflect from the reality isn't who can accept this. The reality is I can't accept this. And here's what you do too. I do this as well. When we have a problem with a thing, instead of saying, I have a problem with a thing, we like to lump these imaginary people in with this and say, oh, there's a bunch of people who are struggling with this one. You know what I'm talking about? You know, they mentioned Brussels sprouts in the video, those kids. I mean, I hate Brussels sprouts, but instead of saying, I hate Brussels sprouts, that feels kind of solitary alone. Nobody likes Brussels sprouts. Nobody likes Brussels sprouts. Am I right? Nobody likes Brussels sprouts. And what we do is when we have a difficult things before us, we're not man enough or woman enough to say, I'm struggling with it. We want to lump everybody, all our imaginary friends, and say, oh, nobody can accept this. Jesus is on to you. If that's what you're doing. He knows that when you say, oh, who can accept this Jesus? Jesus wants everything in my life. He knows that you're really not concerned about everybody. He knows that you're concerned about you. So Jesus was aware that, I don't know if you get your Bibles open, or if your Bible app open, or if you're pretending to have your Bible app open and are looking at Twitter. But who are the people who are grumbling here? What does it say? If you're reading it, yell it out loud. Who's grumbling? The disciples. These are followers of Jesus. These aren't strangers to Jesus. These are the ones who've committed to following him, and they're grumbling at the difficulty of a teaching. You might have thought that it was these people who aren't following Jesus. They're grumbling. People who aren't following Jesus, they don't care what Jesus says because they're not following. What he says doesn't mean anything to them. The ones who are grumbling in our text are the ones who said, yeah, we'll follow. I'm going to give you a secret. Two of them. Neil Armstrong did make it to the moon. And you're sitting next to somebody who follows Jesus who sometimes grumbles against his rules. Yeah. In his direction, in his plan. I mean, just look at that person next to you, and you're going to see a grumbler. That's right, you stare at your mom, Layla. You're going to see somebody who's a follower of Jesus, who sometimes is, maybe not externally, but internally crosses their arms and says, oh, no. Well, let me give you a third secret. Neil Armstrong made it to the moon. You're sitting next to a grumbler. And that person you saw in the mirror this morning, that person grumbles too sometimes. Because sometimes the teachings of Jesus are difficult. And we would rather embrace the easy path to following Jesus. You see, Jesus loves us more than we know. He loves us the way that we are, just as we are. And he has more in store for us, and sometimes we don't get to experience the more unless we give up the things that we're clinging to so that we can hold on to the things that he has. It's the disciples who are grumbling. I love Jesus' response. He's direct and assertive. He's not angry and aggressive. He said to them, "Does this offend you?" Oh, now he's getting in their business. Don't you hate those direct questions? That like get right in your business and call you right out. They were grumbling, they were offended, and he doesn't hem around, and he doesn't, you know, go passive aggressive. He just said, "Hey, does this offend you?" The reality is they were offended because Jesus wanted to own their lives, and in owning their lives, he would give it back to them better than they could have imagined. But they didn't want to give it up, and he said, "Does this offend you? Aren't you glad that we Americans aren't easily offended?" Somebody say amen. Somebody say, "God bless the USA. We are the most offendable people in the world." I don't have to tell you that. Just look, how many of you, don't raise your hand on this. How many of you have gotten on Facebook and just been offended this week? How many of you have gotten on Facebook and said, "Oh, I'm unfriend"? How many of you wish they had the opposite of a like button so you could give them the thumbs down? We are so easily offended. And in being easily offended, like our friends right here, we miss out on some things that God has for us. Let me let you in on something. Actually, if you look at your neighbor and it looks like they're not paying attention, tell them they might want to pay attention to this one. Go ahead. You can disagree with somebody without being offended by them. You can have a different worldview than someone without being offended by them. You could look at a thing that somebody else is doing and say, "I would never in a million years do that," and not be offended by that thing. And if Jesus' followers, these disciples, if they were less offended, no, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about it. If we were less offendable, I think we'd be more winsome for the kingdom of God. I think if everyone who called on the name of the Lord Jesus, who was trying to follow Jesus, who was trying to move from a seed to a root to a tree in their journey of faith, if we were less offendable, more people would look at us and say, "I kind of want what you have." Because Jesus, yeah, you better clap on that. That's good. Because Jesus didn't come that we might have an offended life. He came that we might have an abundant life. And if we could just let go of the things that offend us, we would be in a better place and the world would be in a better place. Do you know that America is a part of a faith that has been declining for 70 years? Christianity has been on the decline in our country for decades. But globally, you take out some European countries and you take out the United States, globally, Christianity is the fastest growing religion across the world, even when you factor in the U.S. and some European countries. If we would just stop being offended by people who don't believe what we believe, Christianity would grow, people would find freedom, and Jesus' name would be praised. So I want you to get your friendly finger out. And I want you to point at yourself. And I want you to repeat after, "Hey, self. Stop being so easily offended." Now, some of you didn't do that. Say it again. "Hey, self, stop being so easily offended." Are you offended at this? Jesus says. Jumping down a little bit, he went on to say, "I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." Here's the deal. Jesus doesn't even expect you to do the work to get there. Whoo! Somebody say, whoo! So it's a hard thing for sure, but it ain't like running a marathon. You don't even have to do the work. You just got to surrender and let God do the work. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father pulls them to me." So it's difficult, but it ain't difficult. You just got to let it go and let Jesus do the work in you. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many of you have had that thing that seemed insurmountable in your life? Anybody? Come on. Has anybody ever experienced something that has seemed insurmountable, or is it just me? And then out of nowhere, God swoops in and you're like, "Oh, that was insurmountable?" Has anybody ever experienced that? Nod your head loudly if it is true. Yeah. See, you let God do the work. And so maybe your faith journey has been difficult for the wrong reasons. It's meant to be difficult because giving up control and surrendering is difficult, but maybe it's been difficult for you because you've been trying to do it on your own. Maybe you said, you know what, I'll just be more religious. Jesus never came to create religiosity. Maybe you said, I'll just do more church things. Jesus said, he didn't come that you would do more church things. You know, even a good thing like fasting that we're going to do at the end of the month, even that can become a very bad thing because I'm going to fast and I'm going to get God's favor because I'm fasting. That's not it. All of the things that God gives us to draw close to him are simply meant for us to jump on his lap and let him do the loving and changing. Have you ever seen a baby change his or her own diaper? The loving parent does it. And sometimes it's difficult on the parent, amen? But a loving parent does it anyway. You just got to be like that loving baby who crawls up on the table and says, change me. Change me. Somebody say, change me, Lord. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father is him. He does the work. And then this. This is a great line. I love this one. And I'm going to tell you why I love it. From this time on, the Bible says, many of his disciples turned their back and no longer followed him. I love that. Am I crazy? Here's why I love it. I love it because Jesus was not clingy. He wasn't grasping and he wasn't manipulative and he wasn't making them follow him. He let them go. Jesus will respect your decisions. If you don't want to follow him, he's like, go ahead. Go ahead. And there's something beautiful about that gift of free will. Well, God really wants to be in a loving relationship with you. It's not by mistake that the scriptures are filled with imagery of you being the bride and he being the groom. God wants to love us passionately and intimately, but if we don't want it, he's like, all right. He's going to give you free will to walk away and he'll give you free will to walk back. He'll give you free will to walk away, and maybe some of you have been walking away, and that's okay, but you know what? When people walk away from a God who says, I'm here for you, I love you, I got things for you, but it's up to you just to turn, and I'll give it to you. I'm not going to make you. That's the God who is winsome, and people are drawn to. I'm thinking of a guy named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus one night. We looked at him back in chapter 3. Jesus said some things that were difficult. He was scratching his head, and Jesus said, unless a man is born again, and again, these people didn't get imagery, and says, oh, so that a man enter his mother's womb again? I mean, just picture that image. Come on. It was too much for Nicodemus, so he walked away, and Jesus let him go. Jesus let him go. But at the end of Jesus' life, in fact, after his death, we read in the scriptures that Nicodemus was one of the very few who tended to the body of Jesus. Nicodemus walked away because Jesus led him, but in the loving of letting, did you hear that? In the loving of letting, Nicodemus found his way back because God let him go. Nicodemus came back because Jesus said, you can go. Many come back because Jesus said, I'm not going to make you. Many come back. Now, this is a good word for some of you who have a loved one who is not walking with Jesus, who've turned their back. I'm telling you, God says, let them go. Pray for them, love on them. They'll come back. Because even though Jesus lets them go, his love for them does not end. He lets them go because he wants them to come back on their own volition. Some of you are walking away right now. I'm just going to let you know, spoiler alert, you're going to come back. You're going to come back because you're going to know that there is a Father in heaven and a Spirit who loves you and a Son who died for you. You're going to come back. And maybe today's the day you do come back. So we got some water up here and we're going to baptize in a minute. And I'm saying maybe today's the day that you come back to the one who let you go. He loves you so much, he'll let you go. Maybe today's the day you come and get yourself drenched. I also like that he let him go because in letting them go, these were the disciples that he let go, right? Jesus does not want lukewarm disciples because lukewarm disciples ain't disciples. In fact, people who are lukewarm or kind of half in, half out disciples have done a lot of damage in the name of Jesus for a long time. And let's be clear, that's been me and you sometimes, right? When we say we follow Jesus, but we don't really follow Jesus, where he owns everything and we surrender to him, we do things in the name of Jesus that aren't really Jesus. And when we say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and we do really dumb things, people get a bad image of what Jesus is. You know, I love watching sports, and some of these athletes, you know, I look up to them for many reasons. You remember those old WWJD bracelets? I can't tell you how many times I saw guys being arrested for doing really horrible things, and in their mugshot, they had the WWJD bracelet or shirt on, right? When we live out in name Jesus, but we walk the other way, Jesus get a bad name, so he's going to let you go. If you're lukewarm, he says, go ahead, walk away. Because I don't want lukewarm followers. I want followers who take the whole bit of bread and bring it on the inside. Yeah. They were free, these disciples, not to follow Jesus. But they were free to come back. And they were free to say, Jesus, this is difficult. And they were free. You're free too.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.